So thank you so much for
calling.
You
for reaching out. It's been, I just, you know what? Most of my audience is from the U.S. I love speaking to my fellow Canadians. So thank you for...
I didn't know you were a Canadian. This has been great. I was like trying to keep like like the Canadian like references to a minimum. So I'm like, I don't know how much you'll get.
Hi, I'm Brad. Where are you calling from?
I actually moved to Florida.
I'm from Los Angeles.
Madisonville, Kentucky.
Hell yeah, man. And wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada. My watch list is getting too long, and I love the smell of rain in summer. And welcome to Blonde Radio, where every week I book calls with strangers from around the world. Today we'll talk to Aiden, whose videos capture the essence of adventure, Laura, whose passion for activism shines in her life, and Andrew, who was in the right place and the right time to capture one of the most iconic vines in history. There's a lot happening this year. It's a year for growth, learning, and change. This week at Blonde Radio on Instagram, I give you guys a prompt. What's the most important thing you've learned in 2020? Here's what you had to say.
Hi, my name is Simon. I'm calling in from Dexter, Michigan. I think the most important thing I've learned in 2020 is to ask the question why, especially based around, since we're basing this topic more around like political discussions and ideologies, I think a lot of the time people take certain concepts from their face value, because a lot of times that's the only thing that the news shows us, right? It's just the face value. And you begin to learn that instead of actually just yelling at each other and talking about the issues at hand, you want to ask the question, why? Why do people act this way? Why do people not believe in the same things I believe in? And in asking why, you actually get to the root of the problem and change a lot faster. I think that's the one thing I've learned in 2020.
Hi, my name is Florence. I'm from Gniezno, Poland. And the most important thing I've learned in 2020, finally, is the fact that I'm not the center of the world.
Hi, I'm Daria. I'm from Russia. The most important thing that I've learned this year, for me personally, the only way to true happiness, not just distracting myself from bad things, real happiness, joy, real self-love, is through like expressing kindness and supporting other people, like basically living for making other people's lives better. That's the only thing that makes me feel better about myself.
Thanks to everyone for submitting their responses. There's a good chance you've come across Aiden and his work before. His channel, Valspire Family, highlights and catalogs his exploits with his friends and strangers over the past 5 years. Here's Aiden.
What's up, dude?
What's up, Aiden? Yeah?
Yeah.
Sick. Awesome. Well, give me the elevator pitch on you. Tell me who you are. What do you do?
Well, my name's Aiden. I guess I'm a YouTuber.
Yeah.
It's weird to say that I'm a YouTuber because I never thought I would actually be a YouTuber, but I make vlogs. I just travel and hang out with friends, really, and just make videos.
Totally.
Doing dumb things, but...
Recently, you moved to LA?
Oh, no. So I just actually moved to Florida.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I did take a trip out to LA just for a week, like, just randomly.
So where are you?
LA is really pretty.
Where are you from originally? What's the...
So I was born in New York, Buffalo, okay. New York, but I've lived all along the East Coast, really, and now I'm currently in Florida.
What's that all about? What's the...
About Florida?
Oh, just all the moving.
Oh, it's just my dad's job,
oh, okay,
I guess. Yeah. So we kind of just were kind of dragged along as kids, but, you know, I learned to embrace it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad that we did it.
Hell yeah. And and which town or city is the water tower in?
Okay, so yeah, that's in Georgia.
Okay.
I used to go to college there, University of Georgia. Yeah, so the water tower is a staple of that town.
And I feel like to an extent, maybe a staple of your brand. Is it still standing?
Yeah. So I revisited it actually a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
so I was visiting a friend. Yeah, the water tower is still there, and my spray paint job is still there, which is really funny.
That's awesome. But when did you know that making videos was the thing for you? Like, that's your drive, your passion.
You know what's crazy is I've honestly never been into like film things. Like, I've never taken a film class, right? I just always did it on the side because, I don't know, I liked recording things. I like having those memories there.
Mm-hmm.
That I could like look back on. I was always getting into like these crazy situations that I feel like people would not believe. So I was like, I gotta start recording them a little bit. think that, I guess that was the main reason why I started. I started like 6 years ago. I have like 12 terabytes of footage, maybe.
God.
Or maybe more. I don't know. I don't delete anything ever.
Are those first videos you ever made, are those still up, or are those like privated? We don't think about those.
Pretty much most of them. I would say like 98% are still up. I mean, I don't like deleting things. I think it's funny. You could go back and see like the cringiest things on the planet for me. Like I can't even watch my old videos because they are very poorly made, but at the same time, it's like I like to look back at them because I could see like the progression, I guess, of myself. I mean, I could literally relive like the last 5 years of my life, you know, or a lot of the things. It's like a journal, you know what I mean? It's like a diary for me. So it's really cool to see.
A question I had kind of about that is, you're so open and vulnerable with like who you are and the things that happen in your life. And I'm not sure if that still holds up. It feels like even like a couple of years ago, you were just like super raw. Is that something you still try to do, or is that something you're more cautious about? Or
oh no, 100%. I think I like to be myself 100% and just kind of be honest about everything. I just don't see the point in hiding anything. Like I'm just a goofy guy, and I think it's cool. Yeah, I think it's cool to see people be real on social media and be themselves and talk about their feelings, be themselves. I respect that so much. I think it's like the coolest thing. And even if people think it's like, oh, that's pretty cringe, it doesn't really matter. It's just like, be yourself. I think it's cool.
And yeah, it's definitely good. Be more honest and more grounded if you come at it from that angle, which I think it definitely shows in your work. I think maybe that's why people gravitate towards you, which is super cool.
Man, I appreciate it. Yeah, I think so. I think people can relate to it because I think people have some of these thoughts, but they don't speak on it because they don't feel like people will accept their point of views, maybe.
Totally.
I don't know, though.
A voice for the people, we'll call them.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I mean, I just feel like social media is such a weird thing now because it just doesn't seem super honest most of the time. So there's like this toxic positivity thing where like creators are overly positive. And I don't know. I just feel like it's a little wrong because I just don't think it's possible for anyone to be happy all the time like that. You're making their lifestyle seem like just over the top amazing all the time. Mm-hmm. Not to like shit on anyone, you know what I mean? Maybe it totally is. I don't know.
No, I think you spoke to that in one of your TikToks I saw. It was like,
yeah.
And I think there is that level of, if you're just only showing the good stuff, it definitely calls into question, is this really how you're living your life? Because it doesn't seem achievable. And I don't think it is. You can't have sunshine 24/7, you know, without some rain.
Exactly. I mean, you can't have the good without the bad. That's how life is. Like, you constantly are going in between those, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's the point.
Struggle of being human. Yeah. Yeah.
When did the bucket list start?
When did the bucket list start? It started a while ago, maybe like 4 years ago. So I made a small bucket list. I actually ended up changing it at some point, some of the stuff. As of right now, I think there's about like 45 items, and they're all just really stupid things. Like, probably not your average bucket list, maybe. I don't know. It's like the one I'm trying to do this week is I'm trying to climb a billboard because I never done it before. I don't even know if it's illegal, but like that's one of the things I really want to do.
Right. We don't question the book.
Yeah. So yeah, I started a while ago, and I try to take pictures and put them in my notebook. I have a small notebook with all of them. And then once I finish it, I'm going to release it and make another one. It's a really cool like side, like little goals that I like to complete. I don't know. It's fulfilling almost.
Hell yeah. And I feel like a lot of your videos are based around this, and maybe even stuff in your bucket list has involved this. What's the draw to meeting so many strangers and people sort of outside your personal bubble? I mean, has that always been part of your character? Were you known as an extrovert growing up? Or
oh, not at all, dude. I'm definitely not an extrovert.
Interesting.
It's crazy. Yeah, like if you watch my videos, I get this a lot in the comments too, like, oh, he's like the biggest extrovert. I was honestly pretty quiet in school. I was pretty shy for the most part. You know, I had my small group of friends, but I think like one day towards like junior, senior year of high school, I started to come out of my shell a bit. I just realized that, like, you know, I can just be myself and talk to these, I don't know, like meet strangers. I think it's super cool to just like meet a random person and get to know someone like genuinely.
And then even maybe because you know what that other side of being more introverted, maybe that that can maybe help you bridge the gap.
I honestly think you're right. I think I like to be friendly to people because I know what it's like to be lonely. And it's a pretty shitty feeling, I think, for the most part. And so like, I never want anyone to feel that. I want to be that person in people's lives that you can talk to me about anything and I'm not going to judge you for it. And we can have a genuine conversation. And I think that's why, well, now I don't really have a problem Like, I get some anxieties meeting strangers sometimes, but it's usually pretty good. Like, talking to a stranger, you can open up to a stranger really easily.
God, so easy.
I find that people can, you know, open up to me and talk to me about things because it's just someone you don't know. You know what I mean? It's easier. Yeah, just getting to genuinely know someone is just like the coolest feeling, and having these friends is just nice. It's fulfilling in a way. I enjoy being, you know, making friends and making people feel, you know, good about themselves and feel like they can talk about their personal struggles with me and stuff like that, I guess.
Sick. Well, yeah. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day and speaking to me. But I was wondering, in closing, what's the most important thing you say you've learned from, because I feel like a lot of your content sort of revolves around these experiences and meeting new people.
Yeah.
What could you recommend to other people who want to engage with that world outside their personal bubble? I know we talked to it a little bit, but if you had some advice.
That's a good question. I think the problem is a lot of people have, you know, that anxiety there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I get it too. It's a really hard thing to try to like get over that anxiety of meeting people. But then you kind of just have to realize they're another person. They might just be as anxious as you are. And like, what is the worst that can happen, you know, with meeting these people? You know, you might just make like the greatest friendship. Or I guess it could be a little awkward, but like, who cares if there's like a billion people, I guess. But also like with those anxieties, I feel like the more I, you know, put myself out there and I was doing like, you know, stupid things or trying to meet people, I think the more comfortable I got with it. It's kind of like something you have to really work on, like anxieties, I guess. It's like, you know, so I know it's hard to just be like, hey, man, just like, just do it. Because I understand it's hard. It really is. But, you know, sometimes you just got to push yourself. I think that's like one of the main purposes of, you know, being alive is to push yourself and, you know, get out of your comfort zone. Try to meet some people, you know, go up to someone and try talking to them or just do something stupid. That's usually how I meet people. Like,
hell yeah.
I'm just doing something really dumb downtown and then someone's like, hey, that's pretty cool, and then boom, I got a good friend.
Like the god, I love that shopping cart idea you had. What was it? You had a name for it.
Yeah, the Uber cart.
Yeah, god, that's a classic. Because like, who's doing that? Who's thinking of that? And the thing is, if I'm guessing, that didn't start in that moment. That started years ago when you first, you know, decided to make a small step towards doing something a little different and crazy. And then that sort of, it's like dominoes. It has to start somewhere small. It doesn't have to be a big creative thing off the bat.
Oh, 100%. I mean, 100%. That's like, you kind of grow into it, I guess, or you get more creative or decide to do something even crazier next time.
Sick. I like that a lot. That's words of wisdom. Definitely going to pass that along, implement that in my life where I can. But Aiden, I do want to thank you again for taking time every day. It's been super chill to talk to you and hear your words and perspective.
Heck yeah, dude. Thanks for inviting me. I hope this was good. Honestly, I feel like I'm usually pretty bad with words and trying to explain stuff, so I hope it was decent. Also, I was pretty nervous, but
you know what?
I don't get interviewed often. So.
I have the honor, so honor's all mine. And being nervous, as I've learned, it's your body telling you something important's happening. So I'm glad that we could come together and work on this. Again, thank you, and I'll definitely be staying in touch. I love your content. I will keep supporting you. And thank you for this talk.
Oh, yeah, man. Just let me know. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
All right, man.
Ciao. Peace. Hi, it's me, Diab. I'm calling from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And the most important thing that I have learned in 2020 is that it's okay to not be okay sometimes. Like, you can feel frustrated and anxious about something that you have, you know, working on right now, but just remember that it will get better and it will be okay someday. And it might not be tomorrow, but it will be soon in the near future. So yeah.
This is Laura, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Okay. LA. Yeah. I've been there once. Very lovely. I'm up on West Coast Canada. So on the same ocean. Ooh. At least. Yeah.
Yeah. Pacific. Way better than the Atlantic.
Can we get an amen? Hell yeah. That's where it's at. How's your day been?
It's been pretty good. Yeah, it's been a good day. Mostly just another day in quarantine.
Tell me about you. Who are you? What do you do? Give me the elevator pitch.
Well, I'm Laura. I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm currently at university. I'm a Middle Eastern Studies and Arabic major. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those two things, just being from LA and studying the Middle East, kind of make up my whole personality. Like, from that, people make a lot of implications or inferences, and they're usually right. Like, I'm very politically liberal. I'm very politically active. Mm-hmm. I love doing yoga. That's a pretty LA thing. I love art in general. I mean, all forms of art, film, dance, visual art. And yeah, that's kind of me.
I like that. That's sick. And you seem very, very worldly, like from... God, it seems like you've been all over Europe. What was that trip recently about?
Yeah, so I went on a study abroad last semester. So we were living in London. But before the trip started, I went out early and did Copenhagen and Amsterdam. And then during our classes, we also traveled to France and then up to Scotland. And then we had a free week of travel. So I, me and a couple of friends went to Ireland.
Wow, that's... That must have been incredible.
It was. It was so much fun.
Sick. Tell me about Restore Honor and this whole sort of movement that it looks like you've been involved with.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go to Brigham Young University, and we are a religious school. So our honor code is a little bit different than most schools' honor codes.
Sure.
I think from my understanding, most other schools are pretty much just don't cheat. Here's like the academic rules. Our honor code is tied into like our religion. So it's got a lot of things like no premarital sex, no alcohol, no smoking, lots of these things. But there's issues with enforcing that. I mean, I am a religious person and I agree with the concepts behind it. But what happened is about a year ago, a little over a year ago, there was an Instagram page called Honor Code Stories that blew up. It'd been around for a couple months, but all of a sudden, like literally overnight, it got thousands of followers from students at my university. And they were just publishing all this stories that people were telling about the way that their honor code violations had been handled by the honor code office and the way that the code had been enforced and the punishments had been enforced. It was absolutely devastating. There was so much being handled incorrectly within the office. One of the biggest problems that really affected me and inspired me to get involved with this group was that cases that had to deal with breaking what we would call the law of chastity, especially like sex-related stuff, were the counselors, which they're not called counselors anymore. That's a change that we fought really hard for, would ask people very explicit questions that were completely inappropriate, not at all helping them. The point of our honor code is to keep an environment that's safe, I guess, in a way, an environment where people feel like their values are respected. And if you break something in the honor code, you should, like, it's supposed to be a process where you learn and you grow and you heal. And the way that the Honor Code Office was handling it as of a year ago was absolutely not that. They were allowing anonymous allegations. They were assuming students were guilty before they were proven innocent, and they were punishing people unjustly. So as a group, this page blew up. Everyone was seeing these stories, and there's was a culture of secrecy before where people felt like they couldn't talk about what was going on in the honor code office or their experiences. So really just the transparency of it was what pushed for change. And they came together and they planned a protest and they put together an agenda of all the changes that they wanted to see. We had a protest, which is really unusual for my school. We're a very small conservative religious school. And so that was like a really, really big deal for us. The administration listened to us. And yeah, it was really incredible. We would go in every week and Fridays and we would talk to the dean of students or the assistant dean of students and just have conversations about what needed to be changed. And they actually listened to us and established changes. And there is still a lot of work to be done, but so much good has come of it. And it's been a really positive experience overall, I think.
That's so sick. And I don't mean to assume here, is this, I feel like maybe it's connected to, I don't know, your principles and how you grew up, but like, but what pushed you to, because I've seen in your feed and stuff, this isn't like, this isn't the one-off case of you being an advocate. Like, would you consider yourself an activist? And like, what draws you to this sort of lifestyle and this proactive worldview?
Yeah, I think it does have to do with like my upbringing. I just grew up in a family where we talked about politics at the dinner table, and my mom would like send me news articles all the time. So I feel like I've always been a pretty like informed person. And in terms of like specifically what makes me want to go out and do things and like take action, I'm a really empathetic person. Yeah. Like I loved last week's episode, listening up to people's responses about empathy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, it was really well done. But for me, I just physically like can't not advocate. Like when I see something in the world that's unjust, it really, really deeply affects me on a personal level, even if it doesn't have to anything to do with me personally. Like I feel that pain. And if I didn't do anything about it, I just would be like curled up in a corner of my room for the rest of my life. So I guess that's kind of what draws me to activism.
That's sick. Yeah, it feels like if you kept it pent up, it would just hurt you. So I'm glad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm lucky, like I have means to do something. So it would be incredibly selfish to not do something about it and to not use the privilege that I've been given.
I like that. That's a great perspective. Just quick little detour on maybe something on a lighter note. Tell me, it looks like you faked an engagement. Am I reading into that correctly?
Yeah, I did.
What inspired you to, because that is like masterclass level prankery at its finest. That's dedication,
thank you.
That's time. That's thought. Tell me what made you wake up one morning and decide, I'll do this, I think.
Yeah, so it has to do a lot with the culture of the school I go to, BYU.
Yeah.
Where people get married very fast and very young.
Mm-hmm.
I had always said that I wouldn't go to BYU. I was like, I'm not going to do what everyone expects me to. I'm not going to like fall for that. It was a shock to everyone when I decided to attend university there. And I was kind of thinking, and I was like, I've also always said that I will never like get engaged to someone that I meet right away.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. I can't believe people at the school do that all the time. And I was like, well, you know, I kind of fooled everyone, not fooled everyone, but like I surprised everyone by doing this. Maybe they'll believe it if I do this too. So kind of where that came from, I wanted it to be believable. So I went on a dating app and like asked people if they wanted to take engagement photos with me, because it had to be someone, you know, my friends didn't know, otherwise they would know what was up. So I like found a guy and we like took the pictures and I posted it and everybody believed it. It was crazy. I had some of my friends were in France at the time and they called me at like 2 a.m. and they're like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Like, when did we get to meet him? And it was absolutely wild. And it kind of turned into a little bit of activism also. Not activism is too strong of a word, but
maybe a statement.
A statement, exactly. Yeah. Because I had thought that it would just be like a funny thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when everybody actually believed it, I was like, you guys, like, this is not, like, why are you being supportive of me? Mm-hmm. This is not something that you should be supporting, because I had like made it pretty clear when I posted it that we'd like met 2 weeks before. Like, that was part of the funniness of it.
Right.
So that's kind of the story on that.
Mm-hmm. And even like the Christian university our church has up here, it's called Berman University, and it's like a known thing. It's like you go there for a degree, but also like you go there to get married. Like,
oh yeah, that's exactly what my school is like. Like, if you graduate and you haven't gotten married, then you failed BYU.
Right. And even like, god, there's like stories of people that like will go, don't even get a degree, but like leave with like a fiance or something, like, and that's like looks so
an MRS degree.
Yeah. And that's socially acceptable. And yeah, it's such a weird thing. Why do you feel like it's tied to religion and church, maybe?
I think, I mean, my church is very family-based.
Yeah.
And so, like, the expectation is that you'll find a partner in life and start raising children. And we just are very family-centered. So I think that plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think also I'm going to be a little bit, I don't know, people would be mad at me for saying this, but I think it's also because we believe that you shouldn't have sex before marriage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people fall in love with each other and then they want to have sex, so they just get married.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's Yeah, I feel like that's a common throughout. I don't know if this is too personal, but like, what's your opinion on like the sanctity of marriage and like that sort of self-imposed barrier of like premarital sex?
Yeah, no, it's not too personal. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot within my church that I've struggled with in terms of like accepting ideologically, and I've made peace with a lot of things, mm-hmm. but that wasn't one of them. Like when I was growing up, I was just like, yeah, that makes sense to me that you would not want to be that intimate with someone unless you were in a very serious committed relationship, which I see as that's what marriage is to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes when you have this mindset of, oh, you shouldn't have sex before marriage, then sex becomes a bad thing, and it becomes like, because it's off limits, and so you're like kind of afraid of it. And I think that's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good point of view. But I think that thinking, yeah, this is something that's great and feels great, and I'm looking forward to it, but I just don't want that right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of my view of it.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's something that I've kind of thought a lot about recently. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I definitely grew up very similar. But yeah, I think one thing that maybe I've come to terms with is like, or at least in my weird, humble perspective, and it kind of falls into the line of like, looks fade, physical capacities fade.
Yeah.
But if the relationship is on that foundation of like love and trust and respect and communication and honesty, like that's the most ideal. And like that's I think where absolutely. My personal barrier sits is like if those things aren't in place, then there's no point in taking it to that next level anyways. And I think that's just
definitely
it's different for different people, but
yeah, absolutely. And like I said, like for me, marriage is like a commitment. And yes. I feel like what you're saying, like to me, like that's marriage. Mm-hmm. But for other people, that might mean just like a serious relationship. And like in that case, no judgment, you know, like I totally fully support that. I think it's exactly like you said, it's about having the communication and the trust and not just the physical attraction.
Totally. Yeah, I like that. I wish, I don't know, if everyone had a base understanding of the principle and then everyone sort of respected each other's barriers and limits on it, we'd be living in not 2020, but 3020. We'd be future living for sure. But
definitely,
You can only change how you deal with it. So there's no point on dwelling.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, because I believe firmly in individual interpretations of things. Mm. And yeah, not everyone does. So it gets a little bit tricky when you have rules and people are trying to follow the rules instead of the principles behind them.
Gatekeepers will always exist. And what can you do? Say love you.
Say love you.
Sick. Cool. Well, I do want to thank you again for taking time of your day to speak to me, but I was wondering if in closing...
No, thank you for talking to me.
Oh, of course, always. But in closing, I was wondering, what thing would you recommend? I feel like one thing important to you is just staying informed, staying in touch. What's a small thing you do? What's a piece of advice you could give to someone to just engage with the world around them on that, maybe further than the headline, further than what's being shared on Twitter, just to really stay on top of things?
Yeah, wow, that is a really good question. I think that the way to engage beyond headlines, like you said, is through conversation. I think that talking to people is way underrated. I have been really lucky when I went on that study abroad to make the best friends I've ever had. Like I've had like good friends before, but these friendships were so deep and just the conversations that we were able to have where we were so open and honest about our opinions on things and our thoughts was just like really freeing. And I hadn't experienced that before. Since then, I've really tried to find people in my life where I can have those conversations and just feel like I can talk to them about anything and everything. And I think even if you don't have those people in your life, like maybe you don't know that you do, maybe you haven't tried that yet. So maybe reading a headline and then asking someone, hey, like, what do you think about this?
Right.
It's diversity and hearing from other people and not getting stuck inside your own head and your own biases that really allows you to grow as a person.
Yeah, you're only one person, so, you know, why limit yourself to that?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that a lot. Thank you. That's great, great advice.
Aw, thank you.
Sweet. Again, thank you for taking time of your day and speaking with me. It's been super great.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Thank you so much.
Well, I wish you the best, the most lovely afternoon, and a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'll have a great day.
Talk to you later. Ciao.
Okay, bye.
Hola, my name is Adonai, and speaking from Chile. And the biggest thing I have learned so far in 2020 is to take time for myself and not rush into things. It is easy to get carried around with routine every day, so with this current situation, it's been easier to take time for myself and, most of all, my well-being.
Hey, my name is Josh, and I'm calling from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. The most important thing in 2020 that I've learned personally is that empathy is not only a moment to pause and feel what others are feeling, but also a call of action to truly help others.
Awesome. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you. This is Andrew, yeah?
Yeah, I'm Andrew.
Andrew, awesome. Where are you calling from?
Madisonville, Kentucky.
Hell yeah, man. How's your day going?
It's going pretty good. Just work and got home. Just been sitting around playing with my dog.
Awesome. And I saw, that's a new dog, fairly new to the family?
Yeah, I had her for about a year or two. Her name's Tilly. She's a basset hound. She's
Tilly, good name.
The greatest thing in the world. We were just getting back from vacation. And my mom was like, you know what? I think we should get a dog. We were like, all right, let's get one.
Awesome. Tell me about you. Give me the elevator pitch on Andrew. What do you do?
My name's Andrew Proctor. I'm 19. I'm from Madisonville, Kentucky. I work at a mobile body shop. And basically, we go to different car dealerships every day and we do the body work on their cars right there on the spot and then go somewhere else.
Oh, awesome. You enjoy it?
I enjoy it a lot. It's actually, it was a big leap for me because I had college planned out and I had like pretty much all of it paid for. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to do school anymore. And it was kind of a leap of faith for me to do this. But next year I'll be moving and I'll have my own business and I think it's going
to
work out.
Yeah, that's a big step. And I know it's weird to kind of plan stuff with everything going on, but you got to keep moving forward.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't, of course, ask you about the Vine, the iconic Vine.
So for people that don't know that I don't care, you broke your, the Vine where the kid says, I don't care, you broke your elbow. I'm the one that recorded it. Mm-hmm. I was in the eighth grade when I recorded that. I've already graduated high school and everything. But basically, we were in computer class and I just had my phone out at the right time because he was like playing a DS and it was funny. And then he threw a book at my friend, like for no reason. No. We were like, whoa. So I pulled out my phone and started recording. And then I kid you not, as soon as I pulled it out, he turned around. He said that famous line and it kind of blew up overnight. I went to bed. I posted it on Vine and then I woke up and it had like a million views. And over time, it got like tens of millions of views. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is kind of crazy.
Totally.
And then it sucks. I didn't really make any money off it.
Right.
Because I was in the eighth grade and I was a stupid kid. But it was on Ridiculousness once, which is pretty cool.
And literally, like, to this day, it'll still, I'm just always in the meme zone.
Yeah.
It'll pop up. I'd say it probably comes into rotation. Like, every couple months, I'll see it pop up again.
Yeah, and that's awesome to see, too. But, of course, everybody in my town and around the area is kind of tired of it because that's all everybody talked about. Like, I don't know. It's like the biggest meme from Madisonville, Kentucky, which isn't hard, but, you know.
How small is your area?
I don't know. All I know is it's not big enough to have a Chick-fil-A because they just will not put one here. So,
oh, no.
So that sucks. But
do you feel like it's followed you or has it sort of tapered down over the years or?
It's followed me, like, especially going from eighth grade to high school, because everybody always is afraid of, like, the jump from middle school to high school, and mine was kind of different, because as soon as I got to high school, people knew that I recorded that Vine, so it kind of eased me into it, and made it a whole lot easier, but, yeah, people still bring it up to this day, and my friends, it's pretty cool. It's just something that's always going to be there, and that people all over the world have seen, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Totally crazy. I mean, I pass along to some of my friends. I'm really, this isn't a brag, trust me, but like I've interviewed some really sort of like big names and people. But like this interview is like probably the one I was most excited for because I'm like, this is the guy that did that video.
No.
it, because it's such
I'm honored.
It's such a touchstone of like meme culture, and it's God, it's just a privilege. But I do have a question. Like the guy who said it, I don't know his name.
His name is Nick Zachary, and on the What Do You Meme website, it actually says his name's Mason, and I don't know who made that.
Oh no.
Who does the What Do You Meme website, but his name's Nick Zachary. After middle school, we ended up going to different high schools, and I haven't really seen him since, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Right. And I don't think, like, it doesn't paint him in a malicious light. It more maybe paints him as like, ah, look at this guy. Like, do you think that followed him in a negative way at all, or do you think he was cool with it? Or
I think it was a positive. Like,
yeah.
Imagine going to high school and everybody knows you from the internet, and they're telling you to do the thing. And then, you know, he says it, and then everybody freaks out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I that would be cool. And it was going to be in a card game, What Do You Meme? But it just kind of
right. Kind
of never happened because I couldn't get a hold of him. Like, he doesn't have a phone number or social media or anything.
Oh, God.
And I was trying to find him, and I just couldn't. I have no clue where he's at now.
Right, because I guess it's probably like a consent thing.
Yeah, because it's his picture. But I was never able to get it signed. And so I was never in it. But maybe one day I'll come across him, or somebody can connect me with him one day, because I'd love to see him and talk to him, because it's been 5 years. So
totally. Damn.
It has been a while.
So that, yeah. And even I was born in 1996, and I feel like growing up, I saw kind of like, I remember when we first got internet, I was like 6 or 7, and it was like this mind-blowing thing. Like, before then, I guess like the closest thing to sort of that worldwide recognition is like television or movies or something like that. But it's crazy that like there's even people in my small town that like have kind of blown up on TikTok now. And it's like, it's a little bit luck. It's a little bit having good content, but it could just be just random. You could just take off.
Yeah, it was pure, unbelievably, like, crazy luck. It was the only Vine I'd posted before, like, to that point, and then literally overnight it just blew up, and I don't know how or why, but it did. I'm glad it did. I'm glad it happened.
Well, tell me about, so you're from Kentucky, mm-hmm. And then also you have this donation link in your bio, which, super cool. Glad that you're, like, using your platform to bring awareness to issues at hand. Yeah, do you feel like that's shared among the people in your community? Like, have there been protests where you live?
There's been peaceful protests like downtown and stuff like that, but coming from like a more southern like place, yeah, the younger kids for the most part understand that there's a problem, and they understand that we have to be the change in the world. But it's hard whenever it's, you know, this South and everybody's Bible thumping, mm-hmm, Republican, whatever. There have been peaceful protests, and there have been a lot of people in here donating to bail funds and different Black Lives Matter foundations, and it's been really awesome to see like everybody come together for one cause, especially in a small town like this where, you know, like I said, Bible thumping, yeah, everybody's super religious and whatever,
right?
And they believe, they just don't agree with us, but mm-hmm, it's just awesome to see everybody come together.
Totally. And I feel like this goes back to Vine, but even now with like TikTok, information memes can blow up so fast, but so can information. So many people can be more aware of like the issues that need help. What do you think the future of that looks like from your perspective? Do you think our generation growing up are going to be different?
I think our generation, it's awesome to see our generation, because we've been able to grow up with technology, and we've been able to see the world at like a wider point of view than everybody else has, like our parents had growing up, because we have the internet, and we can see what's going on in different places. Because like back in the day, if there was protests going on, you wouldn't be able to see like the videos of, just, you know, go on your phone and see videos of the protest and like the police brutality that goes on, people catch. And our generation has a good chance of righting wrongs in the past, and I hope that it can change. It needs to change, and it has to.
Hell yeah. I like that. Well, Andrew, I do want to thank you for taking time out of your day to speak to me. But I was wondering in closing if, because I feel like we spoke to it a little bit, but you sort of mentioned how this cool, fun, awesome thing, but also this maybe thing that people a little bit have heard a lot, this Vine you're connected to, that you've carried with your life, you know, that doesn't define you. What advice could you give to someone to sort of like grow beyond the thing they may be known for in their past?
Just when it happens, enjoy it while you can, because something especially like that is crazy, and you need to be able to live in the moment, and you don't need to be, but also you don't want to look back on your past and think, and want to do things different. You need to be content with what's happened in the past, and or you're never going to grow. Like, if you're not content with the past, you won't grow as a person. And I think that's been really important to me. I've been going through, you know, I've been through a really hard breakup recently, and mm-hmm. you know, I've been able to get better, and I've had a really great group of friends around me to help me, and it's been a struggle, but just, you also need to surround yourself with great people, because a good strong base and like a good strong support group is gonna get you through it.
I like that a lot. Yeah, probably through the hardest times of my life, it's been those, like you're talking about, those pillars of people that you can always, they'll always be there for you.
Whether it's a mom, a parent, or an aunt, or an uncle, or your best friends. Like, I'm grateful that I have a huge group of friends. I've got, like, there's, like, 7 or 8 of us that are super close and do everything mm-hmm. together, and I wouldn't be the person I am without them.
That's sure. awesome. And I'm assuming, has it been long since the initial break? Are you doing good? You doing okay?
Oh yeah, I'm doing better now. It's been like, I don't know, like half a year, but mm-hmm. it's been better. I've gotten a lot better. Still struggling with it, but I've definitely getting better.
Oh yeah, God, it feels like I don't know if it was in January, but I also was unceremoniously dumped in January. So this year was kind Damn. Of.
Hey, January bros, let's go.
Hell
let's
yeah, go. Kings.
Let's go, Kings.
Because,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was sort of like a weird start to 2020, and then it seemed to get worse, but we're trying to make the best yeah. of it.
Yeah, I agree. And my birthday's in January.
Oh,
so
no.
That sucked. I mean, that sucked bad. But yeah, but the year kind of started off rough, but it's gotten a lot better.
Totally.
It's gotten
yeah.
way better.
And I think you get to that point where it's like, well, it can't get much worse.
Exactly. Like, you look at what's going on in the world right now, and like, I can put my personal issues aside for the bigger picture. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. I like that.
Amen.
Well, again, thank you, Andrew, for taking time out of your day to speak with me. It's been super cool.
Yeah, for sure, man. I can talk anytime you need me to, or
oh,
do this again, whatever.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for talking. And yeah, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, man. For sure.
Ciao.
See you.
Special thanks to our guests Aiden, Laura, and Andrew for making this episode possible. Intro music provided by Wayfie, that's Wayfie, and accompanying tracks by Low Boil, that's Loboil, who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. The first drop of official Blonde Radio merch is live. You can find links at blonde.radio on Instagram. I'm really proud of how this design turned out. And it's only available for a couple of weeks, so grab it while you can. It's a great way to support the show, and it honestly means the world to me. But as always, I'll see you soon, and thank you for tuning in to Blonde Radio.